The world of the 1920s is quite an interesting time. I'm dealing with the fallout of the Great War and its effects still being felt on the world as a whole. In the United States and Boston in particular, the introduction of prohibition and other such laws having quite the effect. There are still so many unexplored places though, and that's where the investigators come in. There's so many strange things occurring all over the world. From the depths of the oceans to unexplored places in the world, to Antarctica, to space even. The game takes place in May in the year 1923. The investigators have all been brought together by the enigmatic New England Center of Antiquities to track down one of their lost agents, Dr. Barnabas Jones, who was last seen in the small hamlet of Swill's Gullet, just outside of Boston. There are still so many unknowns. Welcome to Session Zero of The Call, a Twisted Gear Studios Call of Cthulhu podcast. For this show, we will be playing the Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition by Chaosium Inc. This is a game of antediluvian horror. It's a game of secrets and mysteries. Players are playing investigators who may travel to strange and dangerous places, uncover foul plots, and be the ultimate final line of defense between the world and the terrors, and yes, horrors, of the Cthulhu mythos. My name is Derek Snow, and I am going to be the game master for this game. I've always been intrigued by horror from a young age, predominantly old B-rated horror movies and the such, and some decent horror movies as well, I imagine, but mostly B ones because they were on TV. Stephen King predominantly, from his Dark Tower series to It, which I'm sure everyone is familiar with, Dean Koontz, and almost any other horror writer you can think of I've dabbled in one way or the other. So now that you have a general idea of who I am, let's find out who these investigators are and who is actually going to be playing them.
Hi, my name's Janessa, and I am playing Althea Goodyear, a stinking filthy rich doctor from Boston. She is roughly 32 years of age. Her father was a very prominent doctor in the Boston area, and which prompted her to get into medicine. She was trained in Edinburgh and has done some other traveling around, and has since taken up jobs as a coroner for the local authorities now that she's settled back down in Boston, and specializing particularly in forensics. This is kind of how she landed where she is right now, but if there's anything of interest of a scientific nature, she's probably going to follow it no matter how ridiculous people may tell her she's being for following it in the first place.
Okay. Hello, my name is Lindsay Delansky, and I am playing the character Agatha Bernhardt. She is 38 years old and lives in the Boston area. She is an alienist. She developed her interests in psychology in her hometown of Salem and has pursued her career as an alienist, working in mental institutions within the Boston area, the most influential institution being the State Hospital at Danvers. She is very knowledgeable in her field, but she also has a lot of street smarts from experience. So she, even though she is a psychologist, she always has her trusted Lee Enfield Mark III with her at all times.
Hi, I'm Zach. I'm playing Amos Milton, a 39-year-old PI from born in Arkham, living in Boston. Arkham's in Massachusetts. In this
it is.
Right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so born in Arkham, Massachusetts, living in Boston, Massachusetts. He private eye takes on the odd job all around.
Scruffy I feel like, looking?
Yeah, he's scruffy
looking. Is he scruffy looking?
He's scruffy looking there further. he's not a very well put together individual. He can be for clients and for getting jobs, but really he's if we ever go to his apartment, you will find that there's not much there. And then what is there is not very well kept. He has seen some shit, as it were. Yeah, that's pretty much it. If you can picture a stereotypical 1930s gruff PI detective, like on the cover of any board game of Call of Cthulhu, that's pretty much Amos Melton right there.
I'm Elizabeth. I will be playing Marion Collins. Marion was a secretary for the New England Center of Antiquities. She is relatively young, trained as a secretary pretty much as early as she could in order to support her family. And she got the job through a friend of her father's, a Mr. Wilberforce, who, as her father was killed in the war. And so she's went to this gentleman to ask for a job once she completed her secretary training. For our first, session, she will be starting off. It'll be her first job as an agent of the New England Center of Antiquities. They needed someone to represent them, and as she had been doing well as a secretary for a while with them, they decided, to promote her. So she will be serving on the center's behalf.
So I guess it's back to me. The Game Master, or as in Call of Cthulhu, it's known as the Keeper of Secrets.
The Gatekeeper.
Any Keeper, the Trapper Keeper, whatever you feel.
Maybe the Key Master.
Yes, I am the Key Master, yes. Whatever way you want to put it, whatever way you want to put it.
Horrible disemboweling deaths, that Keeper.
Yes,
that
yes, keeper. Yes. So many references,
Let it
people.
Be known on the record that he said yes.
Yeah. That is fine. Mm-hmm. I've been game mastering for 25 to 30 years now, and the Call of Cthulhu system really appeals to me since I started playing it around 9 or 10 years ago. It's not like any other game I've ever played. I feel it differs significantly in the style of the way that the game is ran. Being a horror game, it's quite vicious. Players are playing investigators who generally don't want to find the things they're investigating. they want to stop whatever they're investigating from happening, but they don't want to meet them face to face. That's just how things go. Oops. And the way this game differs, like I was stating, is that in other games you have hit points, it's a common term, wounds, and such like that, and that denotes that when you lose those, when you take enough damage, you die. And that's how D&D functions, and that's how most of these other games function. While in Call of Cthulhu, they have an interesting mechanic known as sanity, which is your mental health. So you have two things you have to keep track of, and by far, the mental stress will kill your character quicker than the physical wounds will.
That's crazy, because my mental stress is like over 10 times higher than my HP.
You lose it a lot faster, because it's a lot easier to see something that drives you insane than it is for that thing to be up in your face, stabbing you.
Death from mental decay is always you will see it first. Being shot in the face.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
What has been seen cannot be unseen.
I've lost my mind.
So because of this, the game I feel is quite story heavy. In a lot of other systems, you find a balance between combat and the role-playing aspect of it. This game is mostly a role-playing game, and if you're in combat, you usually screwed up or it's something bad in that regard. Really lends itself to communal storytelling, and as the keeper of the game, it adds to a lot of improvisation because I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what the players are going to do. I don't know what decisions they're going to make. I don't know where they're going to go. And you can't really map it out. It's not like a dungeon where you go in one entrance and you map your way through. They can go anywhere and do anything. So you really need to be on your toes and try to make it interesting, fun, and of course, horror filled. You want people getting squeamish and people going, ah!
Just like that.
I'm sure if we listen to some recordings, those sounds will come through.
No comment.
No comment. This system also uses a percentage-based system. And it's very simple for me to explain. There's a multitude of different skills in the game. From combat skills like rifle, handgun, axe, bayonet, spear. There's so many. And everything has its own skill that way, all the way to the sciences. You have your biology, your chemistry, your psychology, your psychoanalysis, languages, Latin, German, running, hiding, driving vehicles, fixing machines. These are all skills that are based in the game, and it's a system that's based on a percentage. So if you have a 60% chance in a skill, you have a 1 in 100, you roll a percentile die, which gives you a varying score of 1 to 100, and if you get that score or less, you succeed. If you get higher, you fail. So usually it cuts down on the amount of die rolling. Modifiers don't really come into play. You have a set percentage chance of being able to do something. Of course, the lower you roll, the better effect it will be. If you roll half of that value, then it's a hard success. And if you roll one-fifth of that value, it is a critical success, which comes out in the game. There's a special attribute in the game, which everyone should be aware of, which is luck. And you'll see it come up from time to time. Where when everything is going to hell, I may, as a keeper, ask a player to make a luck roll. This is a roll you need to make. It means that everything else has failed. You're hanging off the back of a train. You're about to fly off. On one side is a nice lake you can land in. And in the other side, it's for some reason bricks with railroad spikes hammered up through them. So which side do you land on is basically your luck. Luck also has another purpose, which is you can permanently burn your luck and make it lower to make a failed check pass. So if you fail the check by 5%, you can permanently burn 5 of your luck and make it a success. Okay? So these are things that are going to come up in the game. It's a percentile-based system. You have your luck. You have your mental health, which is attributed to sanity. And the more crazy things you see and experience, the lower your sanity you'll get. You have health for any damage you will take. And even though it takes a long time to heal that back, because it's the real world, if you get shot, it takes as long as you would imagine it would take getting shot for that to heal. Mm-hmm. Mental health, like now, is a little bit different. It's a lot harder to come back, takes a lot of work. Might require some outside help, which is nice that there is an alienist, a psychologist in the group as well, who can help people with that if she doesn't go insane first. Yes. But the main reason that I really love this game is it's really all about that, I find, that communal storytelling. It's your friends getting together, telling an interesting, fun story. People doing unexpected things. People accidentally shooting other people. People seeing imaginary friends. People having complete mental breaks. All of these things can happen in
this
game.
You're being oddly specific.
I'm just stating things.
Foreshadowing here.
I'm just stating things that could potentially happen. I mean, I'm just a keeper. What do I know?
That's such a Cthulhu thing to say.
Basically,
we're all gonna die.
The easiest way for me to put this is that I love H.P. Lovecraft. His short stories, his poems, and everything. Although we could argue that some of it is quite poorly written, some of it is not. And he gets his point across in what he does. One of his quotes is, "The oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear. And the oldest and strongest kind of fear is fear of the unknown." And that's exactly what this game is about. It's about facing up to these unknown things that are threatening the fabric of reality, threatening the world, threatening your own sanity. Yeah. So I hope you enjoy the games you're about to listen to. I know I'm going to enjoy them, watching everyone squirm. It's all good.
Oh, nice.
Okay.